think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart
most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. Are there more words in the English language whose last three letters are ing or whose last three letters are blank and blank? I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, the work and lives of two great thinkers of modern psychology and economics, Amos Tversky and Daniel Kahneman.
These guys really changed the face of the way that we think about the way that people make decisions and judgments. Go back for the last few hundred years, you know, in the development of the field of economics, and one of the fundamental principles was the idea of man as a rational actor. And the idea there is actually very simple, which is that the assumption is that every person is making decisions that are in their own best interests in that moment. So if you believe throwing yourself off the Brooklyn Bridge is the best possible thing you could do in that moment, then you're being rational, according to economics. And there's a huge edifice in economics that's built on top of that assumption. And then a few hundred years go by, and there were a few economists. I mean, in all fairness, there were economists at times who would say, you know, I'm not sure that this is right. But generally speaking, the field stamped those people out. But then starting in the 1960s, there was really a move towards asking the question, is this true? Is it reasonable to say that people are acting rationally? And two of the leaders in that movement were Amos Tversky and Danny Kahneman. And the two of them really set about trying to understand the way that people make judgments and decisions. And what Tversky and Kahneman said was, people have a series of rules that they use, algorithms that they use, and they created what's called a heuristics and biases approach to studying decision making. And so the idea would be, let me characterize a process someone might be using to make a decision. And then if I've characterized that accurately, I ought to be able to find a situation in which that rule would suggest to me one thing I should be doing, and rationality would suggest a different thing. And so then the idea was to set up that situation in which the rule and the rational approach made different predictions and see which way people go. And more often than not in those experiments, people went the way of the rule rather than rationality, which then made people feel kind of silly once they realized what they'd done.
And again, this is the idea of rationality being seen as the sensible thing to do, and non-rational thinking being the nonsensible thing to do. And of course, we like to think, I mean, the way we use those words is that rationality, good, you know, non-rational thinking, bad, when that's actually not always the case. I mean, there are many decisions that are driven by non-rational thinking. And when I mean non-rational, I mean below conscious awareness, that actually are advantageous. And if we think about them a lot, we actually make a less advantageous decision for us.
Right. In addition to understanding the way people make decisions, they did a lot of work on how it is that people make judgments of various things. And one of the kinds of judgments that you might want to make is, how frequently does something occur in the environment? Because when you're making a decision about what to do, you'd like to know, is this event going to happen again or is it unlikely to happen again? So they argued that people use the ease with which things come to mind as a proxy for how likely something is to occur again, how frequently it occurs in the environment. They called this availability. So in order to test this, one of the things that they did was they would ask questions like, which is more common, words in the English language that start with T or with K? Okay, so those of you sitting in the car now, T or K. Chances are you're thinking there are more words in English language that start with T. And you'd be right. There are far more words in English that start with T than start with K. And you guessed that because you could just think of words that started with T more easily than words that started with K. Okay. So then they said, well, what about this? Are there more words in the English language whose last three letters are ing or whose last three letters are blank N blank? Okay. Where those blanks could be anything. And what they found in their experiments was that people would say, oh, there are more words that end with ing. But of course, the words that end in ing are actually a subset of all the words that end in blank n blank. And so there are far more words that end in blank n blank. But you don't notice that because you're basing your judgment on how easily things come to mind. And if you've ever done a crossword puzzle, you know that having the second to last letter in a word as a clue is really no better than having no letters at all.
And I think one of the things this illustrates, right, is if we're able to make a less effortful decision, even if it's wrong, we will make it, or we will tend to make it, right? Because the experiment that Art points out, which beautifully illustrates this point, is you have to think people had to actually not recognize that blank and blank could be ing.
Right.
Right. I mean, the reason that they didn't see that is because that's not what they put in there, because it would require too much intellectual effort to actually do that, even though it seems like nothing. It's not nothing. Right. And that effort is something that influences whether we think something is likely to happen or not. And you know, one thing I'd like to say about their experiments had an elegant simplicity to them that was really remarkable. I think one of the hallmarks of what they did is that they didn't do complicated things, all right? And I think that's one of the reasons I think their results are so powerful, because the experiments are immediately apprehendable by somebody, even somebody who's completely unfamiliar with what they're doing, because it has to do with not uncommon human experiences.
Right. So they came out and did all of these experiments to show that people's behavior didn't obey the bounds of rationality, what the economists would predict, and people went nuts. I mean, for 15 years, people went nuts. There was a tremendous resistance in the field to this idea that human behavior wasn't really following the predictions of the rational economic model. Unfortunately, Amos Tversky died relatively young, in his 50s. But then a couple of years ago, Danny Kahneman won the Nobel Prize in economics. There is no Nobel in psychology, or otherwise he would have won that. And it would have gone to the two of them. It would have gone both Tversky and Kahneman. You know, in many ways, the fact that Kahneman won the Nobel Prize is all the more amazing, given how much dislike for this work there was when it was first presented.
Next week with Two Guys on Your Head, we'll talk about learning styles with Drs. Art Markman and Bob Duke. To check out this and other episodes of Two Guys, find videos with Art and Bob, and more information on any of the topics we've discussed, go to KUT.org. And we're on Twitter at @2GOYH, or email us at twoguys@KUT.org. Two Guys on Your Head is produced at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas. For KUT, I'm Rebecca McEnroy.